keeping the...
A lot of different feedback. And there was, you know, a couple of months of back and forth between me and the head of that group, and we finally sat down and have gone through everything. So the plan that you have on the back of the sheet in your folder, or maybe it's attached, is the final draft, and it really should cover everything that we talked about last fall in terms of what, you know, the inventory process would be, the clearing of tree and shrub to 50 feet unless approved by the commission, if that needs to be narrower or wider. Well, they wouldn't have to come if it was narrower, but wider. And then the replacement plan. So point one, landowners must be given the option to have trees and shrubs that are removed from their property replaced on their property. So baked in, a lot of landowner discussion. They can waive that option in writing. If they do that, then the company can find a new alternative location in the same region. If practical, we wrote if practical because we recognize some regions are maxing out on the amount of trees and shrubs that they want or have room for, and so it might be that companies need to look beyond the exact county or maybe the exact community, maybe broader in the county or broader in that region. So that will provide some flexibility there. Second point, 2-to-1 basis, trees and shrubs replaced by, that's, and then in accordance with these rules of the USDA NRCS field office technical guide and in consultation with the landowners as well. And so that was a piece that allowed us to get rid of all the prescriptive detail in our previous policy and really direct the companies to the experts at making trees grow. And so that's the goal of that one. The third one is outlines the whole purpose, and that's kind of, again, just this is what we want companies to be focusing on, creating sustainable plantings appropriate for the local soil and growing conditions that will provide long-term benefit to landowners, farmers, and ranchers, the community, wildlife, and the environment. So that's the overall arching goal. Again, the goal is to provide flexibility to the companies. They can meet that goal. And then they have to file that plan with us and include the number, variety, type, location, approximate date for the plantings. And finally, 2 years after completion of the plan, the company will file a summary documenting how they achieved the broad goals of number 3 and then report on the surviving trees and shrubs. And then number 6 was the piece that we all agreed to include kind of to see how it goes, but that would provide some flexibility to companies who just simply can't seem to find a way to make a plan that fits this tree and shrub, but they have a different idea to address habitat and conservation benefits. And if they want to apply and present that plan to us, then we will consider it on a case-by-case basis. So that's where we landed. And I guess today, this is not something, as I understand, that we have to approve, like formally vote on, but rather give direction to the staff to start using in replacement of the previous ones. Patrick, can you step to the table and recognize if that's true or not, please?
The tree and shrub specification is sort of like our certification order provisions. It is not a law, it's not a rule, and it's not a policy, so we can implement this without formal action.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that because it isn't a law or a rule, it's a guideline intended to, kind of simplify the citing process and make it more clear and fast for companies. If they have issues with any of these things, they can bring them up during the citing process. Say, we don't like X, Y, and Z, and we'd like to propose changes, and then we have conversation, and there's a lot of examples of that happening in the past, especially with the certification document.
With that said, should it... It says tree and shrub mitigation specifications. Should specifications be guidelines instead?
This becomes the specifications if the commission includes it in the order. But like Commissioner Fedorchak said, it's open to discussion at the hearing. If there were things in here that the company didn't care for. Just like our certification order provisions, it doesn't say that those are guidelines. Those are the certification is adopted by the commission in its orders and subject to change based on testimony at the hearing.
So whatever you change to will become the specifications for that project?
Yeah.
Yes.
How about specification guidelines?
I think specifications is what we ultimately call it, because once after the give and take with the company, that's what it is. This is the specifications for how it's going to be done on this project.
It's no longer a guideline at that point.
But I suppose while it is just until it goes on to an order, I suppose Brian is right that it is kind of a guideline, so maybe specification guidelines is right. It doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other.
Well, and these are so broad. I mean, these are... the industry had a lot of input on this, and it should be, you know, mirror a lot of what they wanted. So I'm not anticipating a lot of angst over these specifications. This is... kind of where folks wanted to land. I mean, even number 6, where we don't even require replacing trees and shrubs, potentially.
I don't know if there's any more on, as far as the word guidelines being added, but I have a different question. But like I said, that would make some sense to me. I don't have much of an opinion on that, but... So, as you pointed out, quite a bit of time passed, and there was some further reviews, and you met, I think you said, with some group. But so my recollection of the whole thing was that what we had, in theory, looked pretty good. And then, as it was used over the years, some of the companies that actually had to carry that out were pointing out some problems that occur in reality with that and make it unreasonably difficult for really no net benefit. But now a lot of time has passed, and I was busy with legislative stuff and didn't, I guess, plan for this as much as I probably should have. But have those participants seen this final draft, and does this still continue, do you feel, to meet the concerns that they had raised with the original specifications that were reaching our goal here?
I believe it does, because we met with them last fall after, you know, we had a couple different back and forths with them, and I think one of the last big requests was number 6, which we incorporated. And then it was back to the Landowners Association, who hadn't been able to participate as kind of like they had made a number of requests that were kind of contrary to this. And so I've gone through with them and explained which we did incorporate and which we didn't. And most of the things where you say the landowners may, you know, where the landowners are incorporated in here, that was added in response to their desire to have a little more landowner input.
Okay, good, because when we had the initial interactions, you know, I got to say it, I didn't sense people coming in here and complaining that, you know, oh gosh, this costs this much and, you know, we just don't want to do it because we'd prefer to save our money. It's even more a matter of we're expending these resources in order to mitigate tree and shrub losses. And not getting the most bang for the buck that we could.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I think is a credit to those people who were participating in all this. So I'm glad to hear that this continues to meet the mark.
A couple of the big things that the participants sought was not having to do the 3 years of what do we call that?
Monitoring.
The monitoring was onerous and not that productive. It didn't result in any, you know, measurable improvements in terms of the outcomes. So that's pretty much gone. They go in at the end and report back on how much, you know, what their surviving rate is and how they met number three. So that's gone. They have the flexibility to come up with a plan however they so desire once they know kind of how many trees are gone and have talked with the landowners for who wants them and who doesn't want them. And then they can come up with a plan and propose that plan for how to address this, which gives them lots of flexibility. That was another thing they wanted. And then the final big piece was having the flexibility to consider not doing tree and shrub replacement at all, but some other type of habitat development. So I believe those were the main issues that industry had sought. So hopefully this captures that and we can use it for a couple. I'm really eager to get it in place today because we have a couple of hearings yet forthcoming on pipeline projects, and this is a big deal for pipeline projects, and I want to be able to have them, even if they've already signed the old tree and shrub agreement, this one can be sent to those companies and offered as a replacement to that prior to the hearing. So I know One Oak has one coming up, and then there's the Belfouche has a pipeline. I think there's a couple more yet this year that will be considering. Yeah. Oh, yeah, One Oak has too. So let's get this incorporated into those projects and then other siting projects as well. And I did want to ask, though, what would be the process for projects that have been approved but have yet to be constructed at all? Is there a way that companies could use this instead of the previous one?
Depends on how the order is written, correct?
The orders have adopted the current version of the tree and shrub mitigation specifications, and so you would have to amend the order, I think, too.
But is this the current version? Would this automatically be the current version?
The version that we're talking about today would become the new version, become the current version.
Right.
And it would be adopted in the orders going forward.
No, but does the order language say, in accordance with the commission's current version of the tree and shrub plan, or does it spell out the tree and shrub plan?
The tree and shrub mitigation specifications are attached to the order,
yeah.
Copied to the order as part of the certification to order provisions.
Okay.
We could just amend the orders. Then we would have to just go back and amend the previous orders to make sure that
if
this
I think, you know, when we had a similar situation with the certifications, we said that if the company were to request the change and want, you know, like would want to have a use the previous version, that we would address those requests on a case-by-case basis. It sounds like you're thinking of maybe something a little bit more than that now. Rather than doing it on a case-by-case basis as requested by the company, would you want to go back and...
No, I think a case-by-case basis is fine. I just am wondering what we can do to be flexible in allowing companies to, if they have not started construction, they have permit, but they haven't started construction, use this tree and shrub plan instead of the previous one.
I think we could do that by,
but I think they'd have
amending
to ask.
The order. Yep.
I think the current tree and shrub mitigation plans are actually docketed and filed in with the order, right, Pat? And so we would have to amend the order ultimately.
Okay.
We're not talking that many cases overall, are we? Or
I'm just thinking even from the last few months,
yeah.
You know, what we've approved. Those are the ones that I are most concerned about because, you know, technically we probably could have and should have had this done in January.
Sure. We just wait on a request from the company, I guess, and then entertain that request by amending the order.
Yeah.
Okay. I would even think if a pipeline was started last fall, or maybe I'm covering the same ground, but say it was started last fall, but they haven't gotten to the reclamation stage yet.
Sure.
To adopt it that way as well.
Still a possibility, because they haven't started their tree and shrub mitigation
right.
yet.
Right.
Okay.
As good as that sounds, I think some caution needs to be used, and I don't really see this playing out in this, but if we set a precedent that you, as we adopt new standards or specifications and things, then old cases will have that applied to them. Do we ultimately get to some case somewhere where when we had the hearing, someone didn't object because they thought that these specifications applied, and then later on we switch it to new specifications? I don't know of any cases where someone probably would have chosen to object to a pipeline project under these specs as opposed to the others, but I'm just talking about our certification orders in general. When we go back and change that, I think we should think about what the consequences of that are.
To amend the order, we do at least a notice of opportunity for hearing and publish that. So that might take care of the concern.
Okay, good. So is everybody comfortable with this?
I am.
Yes, I am as well.
Okay.
In fact, I think you've done a really good job of threading the needle on that.
All right. Well, thank you.
And we're still doing the amendments on a case-by-case basis, correct?
Yeah, as requested by the company.
Yep.
All right. We are concluded with that. Commissioner Fedorchuk, you have the next item as well.
All right. At the beginning of the last hearing, I darted off a note to Steve. Because we were barely could see over our desks. There were so many binders. Thank you, Darren and Danette. Because we showed up with all these massive boxes. I mean, we had an entire Suburban full of materials, and we walked into the hearing. And then the poor company had dragged in all the same stuff, and there was all of it was there again. And they saw me go, oh, my gosh. Got all this information, and then I think they're like, we don't want to do this either, but we don't know how else to get this done based on what we believe the requirements are. So that's why I said we got to talk about this at the next admin meeting so we can get this straight, save some trees, save a lot of trouble for everybody in terms of making copies and trying to keep copies straight. And now I'm like, I've got 4 hearing manuals. I don't remember which ones I've written and which one I haven't. It's just, it gets to be so complicated just trying to manage the materials in this in these hearings, much less trying to absorb what's in them, which is what we really ought to be doing, is absorbing what's in the materials, not trying to keep track of where stuff is. So anyway, I'm still frustrated about this. Somehow we got to simplify this process.
Was the stuff that the company brought, was that new material?
No, I don't believe any of it was new as of 30 days, right, Casey? I mean, everything that they provided, we had 30 days ahead of time, except for the stuff that other agencies provided, which came in, you know, at the last minute. That so stuff is,
my
I'm not worried
is,
about
why
that
why did
stuff.
The company bring more copies for you when you already had them?
Something to do with Alana's conversations with attorneys in terms of how, what they're required to provide.
So,
and it would be really helpful if we could have Casey share some insight here so that we can move this. Or maybe we need to set a work session. I don't know.
I think it may have to do with the fact that they're tied to the hearing exhibits
and
what's being admitted in there. And so they're providing the updated version of all the exhibits that they're actually giving to the ALJ, which goes into the official record.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose they could do one version of it, but maybe the references wouldn't quite match up with what's in the record then.
Is there another way of doing that? For example, if there's something on file here,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it's docketed as number one, the application.
Sure.
And then number two is supplemental materials. Number three is the updated application or revised application.
Mm-hmm.
And then can the parties stipulate that those are the exhibits?
I think that's possible, and I think there's probably a way that we could probably have them at pre-filed hearing exhibit one or something like that and stipulate to that.
Could the 30 days, that whatever filings come in 30 days, could those be filed in a way that they essentially are all the hearing exhibits that are available at that point? Anything else that comes can be added at the hearing and numbered, but could those be filed at the 30-day point? As these are hearing exhibits.
I think I'd have to look through the administrative rules again. I didn't exactly have this in mind when I saw this on the discussion matters, but I think there's probably a way of doing that, subject to check of the administrative rules, and then anything else can be added as an additional exhibit or an addendum to the exhibits at mm-hmm. the hearing.
What I find most helpful is when the companies show up with a hearing exhibit, a supplement that might say, list all of them, but they aren't all provided. They reference the stuff that's already been filed.
Sure.
And then whatever is new at the hearing is included in that as whatever exhibit number it is. Like, that is something that I'd be interested in having. To supplement all the other material that has already been provided, not an entire comprehensive copy of all of the hearing exhibits, including, and they didn't include a copy of the application. I mean, some of it was referenced, but a lot of it, the studies and a lot of that stuff, was duplicated.
That reduces the amount of paper that the company brings to the hearing,
right?
You know, what it might not reduce the amount of paper that you want to bring to the
hearing. No, but it reduces confusion, I think, for us, trying to figure out how does what we have the same or different from what is provided in front of us. And you're trying to do that on the fly while the hearing has already started. And so it's, you know, the first hour of the hearing, you're really trying to get your arms around what's what. At least for me, it is that way.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could, because I stayed here and testified on some bills, so I wasn't at the last one, so I can't blame Casey on this one. I'm following it. I kind of know a lot of what happened, but I'm not referring to this case particularly. As we go back to cases, this is getting worse and worse and worse, and it's getting worse quickly. And I'll look to the lawyers to tell me if I'm wrong. I don't believe that in a criminal case, the prosecution gets by with dropping everything all new on the last day or two before the trial, and now the defense is trying to figure this stuff out. We have a process, and it's not just us, and this is the main point I want to emphasize. So we can work something out where they drop it off here, or we work out what they're going to bring along, but some of it refers to what they've dropped off here. But there's a reason that's a public hearing. Those people should have access to it through our website. It seems to me that the solution is you file your case, we deem it complete, and we set a hearing. And you're done filing then. Get your stuff done before you file the case. And if something new comes up, I guess we're going to cancel the hearing and set a new one. And I'm not talking about one little thing that some agency sends a new letter or something like that. But when it's binders full of stuff, whether it's just reorganizing it, which means that then we're at the hearing and the public is at the hearing and can't follow along because everything's reordered, or whether it's new information that is of such significant volume that, we're struggling to be able to keep track of this stuff. How's the public supposed to monitor this on our website? Unless they do it the last day before the meeting, it's unmanageable because they think that they've read 1,000 pages of stuff, but no, now 2 weeks before the hearing, it changed again. These things just need to be planned out far enough in advance so that we can follow the laws that are in place and call a hearing and then use the information that we had looked at when we deemed it complete.
One of the things that I've been considering thinking about is having a work session with the commissioners so that we can develop a list of things the commission believes are necessary for a complete application for the different types of projects. What do you think of doing something like that? And then staff knows, the company knows, and the commission knows what's required for a complete application.
The way it is now, staff goes through and there might be various things missing at any given time for any given application. And then we, as far as I understand, we spell out what those things are that are missing that we'll allow to come in. But don't we always require at least the company's information to be here 30 days? Or is there stuff that's filed by the company within that 30-day window of the hearing?
I think it can go either way right now.
Alana, what did you just say?
I was going to say, in citing cases, there seems to be a lot filed way closer than 30 days. Sometimes 2 days before the hearing.
Even from the company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're always kind of like waiting on something to come and wondering if we need copies and who's got it.
Permit changes, requirements from other agencies requiring them to help move things. I could see all those things occurring. Yeah.
They're continually updating.
Yeah.
Right.
The record.
I would agree with the fact that maybe we can have some better, I guess, ideas in place where we absolutely need to have an application complete. But to think that the application can't change up prior to that date, facts change, situations change.
Yeah.
I'd be a little concerned about really capping on that. However, to the point that Commissioner Chrisman is making, having the opportunity for not only the public but also us to have a meaningful opportunity to review the information prior to the hearing, maybe there would be a good idea. It would be a good idea to have a date to have the final exhibits with the opportunity for an addendum filed prior to a hearing. I wouldn't say it's quite to the point of a Brady violation of a criminal case, but I know at least when I'm the attorney on the case, I always request that at least I have the copy of all the items prior to the hearing date because I don't like it the date when they say, here's all the new stuff, and I have to act like I'm going to have opportunity to read all this stuff before the hearing starts in the 30 minutes when I can't. So I always request at least multiple days, usually 5 days ahead of time. But that might be worth discussing how we want to procedurally address these or where we can improve upon.
So let me ask on that then. So, yes, I get that some things happen and they change. You go out and discover a rock formation that's significant and you change it. And we make changes to our order based on those kinds of things, even when they're under construction. But what's so disappointing to me is that those types of changes have typically been in pretty reasonable amounts from the day of the hearing on, but from the day that we set the hearing until the hearing, it's the sky's the limit. So why is it always that those last 30 or 45 days need so many changes? It seems to me that just an indication that we're setting the hearings 45 days too soon. Because, again, it's not just about us. It's about the public having access to this information.
And to that point, Commissioner Christman, I would point out that if the application materially changes enough, I think it says in the rules that a new application should ultimately be filed and probably the hearing rescheduled. Mm-hmm. And so that's a point of discretion for the commission.
Well, this is a good discussion. Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that we set a work session, or what I'd really like is to set up some sort of a work session, and then how do we get input from the people who use our system so we can get some feedback from them, too, about, well, we interpret it this way, and, you know, so that's why we're doing X, and maybe some of it is a misunderstanding, but also, I mean, we've gotten to where we are because we're trying to do our jobs as thoroughly as possible while also remaining flexible to the industry and timely, and so that's an important balance, and I don't think we want to throw that balance out the window either. So,
you can have an informal or an information exchange.
Okay.
And you could have interested parties, including industry.
And then do we notify them, or do they just see it on the calendar, or how do we get the word out?
I guess if you wanted input, you'd send out some kind of communication.
Okay. And then the hearing would...
Or an invitation or whatever.
And then the hearing would occur after that information exchange?
No, that would be it.
More generic, right?
Yeah, there wouldn't be a hearing. It would be just a discussion of information.
So like what we did with the trees and shrub.
That's what I was just going to say. I thought that worked very well. I don't remember what we called it, but it was a good way to gather information from a lot of people that was really useful.
I think industry also has to be aware, though, that, and I agree, I think it's important that we work with industry. We try and expedite orders to the extent we can, but if somebody comes in with an application and then it really, there are a lot of material changes to the application leading up to the hearing, and then all of a sudden, but we want to break ground 6 to 8 weeks from, 6 to 8 weeks from now, they have to understand you just slowed the process way down. And that because there's never just one application that we're dealing with. We're dealing with multiple at any given time. Rate cases, you name it. So that's a level of risk that they're taking if they're not complete. But I agree in terms of I don't want to show up at a hearing and have half of the information that we truly need available and the other half is changing or just came in. That makes it really difficult.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, the other thing I'd like, as long as we're doing that, and it sounds to me like we are going to hold a workshop or whatever it's called. I think another thing that needs to be addressed, and again, I'm going to rate it to things I read about or will occasionally watch TV and court cases, but, they don't schedule these cases and then find out that we scheduled it for a day and now it's El Chapo and so we're going to be here for 3 months. They kind of have an anticipation of how long the prosecution is and the defense are going to spend on their case. So they schedule court, judge, staff. I think we need a plan from the company. I mean, they certainly don't know and can't control how many public witnesses are going to come and talk. So that's out of their control. But I think there's a difference if they intend with some expertise in these matters and knowledge based on history of about how much questions we will usually have for their witnesses. If they think their witnesses are going to be testifying for 2 or 3 hours, it's different than if they anticipate having them on the stand for 8 or 9 hours. If it's going to be the latter, maybe that should be a two-day hearing. And so I think that needs to be part of it, too, that they need to give us some idea of how much testimony they plan on presenting orally.
Well, you have another option, too. If you go back to the beginning of citing, they used to hold technical hearings in Bismarck for a lot of the heavy lifting, and then what went out to the public input hearings was more geared toward public input, and a lot of the heavy technical stuff wasn't necessarily gone through line by line. It was a more condensed
I think that version. Would have been rate cases. I think the law requires siting to be in the county.
No, no. You have the...
I don't know that...
We always had a hearing in each county, but we did technical hearings here that lessened the burden when we were out there. But we did that for many years. Pardon?
I know we did that in rate cases.
Yeah, we did that in siting for many years.
For this workshop, let's get more information from how we used to do that there, because that's the first I've heard of that. And boy, would the communities, I mean, I don't know that that's always the best for the residents, because I do think they learn a lot about the projects sitting through it. But this one was from 9 until 5 was company testimony. It was a long day, and Commissioner Kristen wasn't there to give his spiel about why the company goes first, and I forgot. And so I had somebody come up to me at about 4 o'clock saying, we've got cattle to feed and, you know, blah, 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 and we're sitting here all day, and these people are getting paid. I was like, oh, Mr. Randy's commentary, he always explains that. So
anyway. They have a good point.
They do have a good
point. If that was the plan, you know, that should have been a two-day hearing, really. And if they wanted to come and listen to the first part, they could. If not,
they or we to. Could include in our public information that, you know, from 9 until 4 is scheduled company testimony, and public input will begin at approximately, you know, whatever time. It does wear on us and I was very conscious of the fact that, A, I didn't feel good, B, it was a long day, and I was conscious of trying to save some energy for the public part of it and not get to the point where you're just, like, not paying good attention. So, I mean, I know we worked hard to do that, and I think we did a good job of asking good questions of the public, et cetera, but, you know, it's only so long that you can actually stay super attentive, and I think we push it when we go to such long day hearings.
The reality is these hearings, like the hearing on Friday, are not going to get any shorter. In all likelihood, they're going to continue to stretch out more and more. So we do need to figure out how to proceed. Because
workshop, citing applications and exhibits and hearings. Is that... makes sense to call it?
Exhibits and hearings, yeah, I think
workshop, so. Citing, applications, exhibits, and hearings.
Sure. Okay, and then we'll get that when we get scheduling. Okay. All right.
That's what the, are you saying that's what the workshop would cover?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you could call it.
Okay. Next up, Steve. Or Jerry wants to tee it up.
I'll leave it off. We did get an email, or Jerry got an email from DOT on the usage of the plane, and their concern was that they have a 16-hour rule for how long their pilots can be out before they need to change pilots. And apparently our communication between the pilots and the people at the hearing wasn't adequate, and the pilots were sitting there thinking they were going to get called any time, and we knew that probably wasn't going to happen. So we need to work on our communication, and we need to realize that if we have a hearing that looks like it's going to be anywhere near that 16-hour limit, that we let them know so that they can change pilots. So I'm also going to do a little checking with DOT and see what communication they were using and why we didn't seem to be able to communicate appropriately. And
I will say it was probably 6 o'clock before I even thought about the pilots. So, I mean, it was just not even on my mind.
Well, and they claimed they were texting somebody with the commission, and we don't know who. So
okay.
We're going to try to figure that out.
So I was very thankful that you had sent a note to us saying, you better check on the pilots, because I was like, oh, my gosh, that's right. Yeah, we need to get home.
Commissioner Christman made the comment that there was a limit on how long the pilots could be there, and I figured, yep, that's probably something we should follow up on.
But to be clear, I was not in any contact with DOT. That was from our previous experiences, and my notoriety for having such a soft heart and being concerned about you guys.
I do recall when we left saying, how long do you guys have? And they were like, kind of like, don't worry about it. yeah. when we were leaving.
Nice. We were
but I
somewhere
don't think they anticipated
one time.
14 hours.
Nobody anticipated it would go that long, frankly.
We were somewhere one.
And I knew that. At 3 o'clock is never an option for that, should just be off the table. Yeah. It's always at least 5 on when projects.
So I called them about 5 and told them it's going to be a while. And that was with my cell phone.
Right.
And then that gave them my cell number, and he texted me back about 8 something, and I said, pretty soon, I hope. Or
yeah.
Something like that. And and then he texted me again and said, we got to go. And that's when I told you. I told you guys before, but I told you then we need to be in
20 minutes.
Okay, that makes sense because, Steve, you texted me at 5.
Yep.
Said it could be an issue. Then I went and talked to you right away. You got a hold of them.
That could be how it went.
Yeah.
Okay. And then.
All right, well, let's send them a note.
Do you have additional stuff, Jerry?
I think part of the problem was the pilots couldn't stay in Kenmer the whole time.
Right.
They had to go over to Minot, and they came back to Kenmer about the time they were told to return, and the hangar, wherever the plane is, has no heat,
right?
You know, and not really an adequate place for them to stay. So I think that was part of the problem. I told Sandra over at DOT the next time we have a flight, I would like to get the pilots' cell phone numbers and put on my little travel sheet to call, you know, if it's going to be past the time. I don't know as far as leaving and coming back if there's a window between when one crew gets back and when one crew can take off again or not to come back to get you.
Well, on that sheet, they should have a solid contact with the commission to get the hold of us as well. So,
Jerry, could you also, when you're doing just the wind hearings, I think it's probably more realistic to tell them 5 o'clock as the earliest, because I don't anticipate it. It's always going to be close to that.
How long will we
have? By the time we get public input.
When they ask, I always tell them about 3 to 4. I said, but it might take later. Or longer, and they always go, well, we'll just put like a 3.
So tell them 5.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be 3. Usually the company's barely done at 3.
Yeah, and some of these, just because of the unpredictability in terms of timing on the wind hearings. Pipelines are different, but
wind is 5.
That crossed my mind, and I know it's some windshield time, but the greatest flexibility is if we drive, or it provides the most certainty on who's going to be where when.
And something got screwed up too there, because they were supposed to stay in Minot until we called them.
Right, that was how we left it.
Yeah.
So they left,
they came
back and sat and they just decided to come back because they got bored with Minot or something.
Yeah, we had bad communication too, and so
Kenmare is better than Minot.
We'll just try to put some things in place to try to be a little more communicative.
All right, so I think we've covered that. We're going to okay. All right, next, Steve, you are up.
Actually, I was asked to put that one on by Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Testimony, really? Oh, yeah. No.
What's that now? Okay. Oh, shoot, my letter is out. Did you give letters?
I did give them out. I don't have them.
Okay. I need to go grab my copy of that letter.
Good copy.
I don't know. It's
I think I do here.
About
okay, so I just wanted to talk briefly about our strategy for testifying, and really the next steps for the ag, the grain licensing stuff. In my thought process, I think that the three of us should send a letter to legislators fairly soon, requesting their support for the Senate bills. I don't have strong feelings about what the letter actually says. It can be all positive. It can reference some of the actions that we take in the past, or it can say nothing about actions that we can take in the past. But it would be a request for their support, and some rationale for why we think this is the appropriate way to go. So you have a possible draft. I am completely open to any changes. I'm not tied to that language. But I do think that it's important for us to be clear to these folks on where we are on this and to ask for their support on what we think is the correct policy direction, because it intimately affects us, and it's something this commission has done for 127 years, or however many, 21, I forget, more than 100.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Steve handed me a copy of these, and we had a funeral thing last night and this morning working on other stuff for the meeting, and I haven't looked at them that thoroughly because of the timing of it.
Sure.
I looked at the shorter one more thoroughly.
That's probably the one that will be more palatable to everybody anyway, so... And we don't necessarily have to finalize this here. I just wanted to have the discussion about the concept of sending a letter, and then if we can agree on the concept of sending a letter from the three of us and asking for support, then I think we can finalize the details of that letter, you know, through Steve.
I don't have strong feelings on it.
Are we talking about the short version or the long version? Short version?
Well, we're talking about the concept first of reaching out to the legislators and asking them to support this. You know, so the concept is, should we all sign off on a letter to reach out to them? Because if the answer is no, then we don't even need to talk about what the letter says, long or short.
The reality is that there's no pros and cons to it. We might be offending somebody who we need on, you know, on a siting bill or on our budget or on who knows what. At the same time, it is a way of trying to reach people who we are trying to drive home these points with. And
do you think it's possible to craft it in a way that it doesn't offend? Like, is just the by virtue of sending a letter asking for support and outlining here's why we think this is the right way, does that have the potential? Just that have the potential to offend people?
It's the circular thing. If it doesn't have to offend, but if it's going to be useful, I think it has to drive home the points of the changes that we're seeking. And so that we don't seem like we have failed and just suddenly come to these realizations that these changes are necessary, I think for it to be useful, it needs to point out we have been trying to get these changes, at least in a similar form, adopted for a long time. And, of course, then you're stepping on toes. So I think for it to be useful, it will also be irritating.
Okay, well, and I'm open to both options, very just positive, here's what we like and here's why, more hard-hitting or something in between. But why I think it's important for us to do this is it's really hard for all of us to talk to every single legislator. That, and it's particularly difficult on this subject, which is not of interest to a lot of them. So I do think, however, that we have a certain audience that will listen to us because, A, we're their friends, and B, we're Republican elected officials. And so a letter from us, I think they'll read. And so especially if it's fairly short. What I don't want to have happen is what happened in the House side after the vote on that, where a fair number of people are like, we had no idea what was going on or what you guys thought about this or whatever. And so we just, went along with the few very vocal, strong ag leaders in that side. And so I just feel like somehow I want to at least have the comfort of knowing that everybody has gotten the basic information, and then we can follow up with individual conversations with as many as we can possibly cover. But I think it's, unless we're going to go park ourselves down there and do nothing else but talk to them for the next probably week with lists of who's talked to who, I don't know how we're going to cover the bases.
We can't have a dozen meetings a day. Is it an open meeting issue for Steve to work on a letter and kind of bring it back and forth with amendments and until there's something that people would feel are final? And then my thought is, if somebody thinks it's a bad idea and is going to hurt the agency, then we just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get to a point where everybody thinks it should be signed, then we would do it. Is that, can we agree on that concept and
have the word shop? Well, I think that presents you with a gray area. I mean, the idea of, yes, the concept, we want to write to the senators and support the AML budget or whatever. The concept is figured out. The typos and stuff can be tweaked door to door. But if the concept is the heart of the matter, this, is it going to offend or isn't it going to offend, I think you probably need an open meeting. I mean, so it depends where on the list, on that line you are. I mean, if there's things that need to be decided, you need an open meeting.
So if we come up with a concept here that we all can agree on, then we can tweak the language without another open meeting.
I think so, but what I'm saying is tweaking the language, if that goes to the heart of what you discussed at the open meeting, then you probably need a meeting to do it.
Yeah, so we'd have to be, kind of agree on conceptually how far we want to go right now.
And my thought on it is, and again, I don't feel strongly that we need to send this letter. I think it could be crafted in a way that it's going to be mostly not damaging, and maybe it will be helpful. But I think that the concept to agree on is that it can't be real risky, where it steps on toes that are going to hurt other programs within the agency or other things that people are counting on us to do here.
Can I see that draft that I sent you? That one?
If you want, I have some proposed changes to the first one, but I might have more than this.
Well, you could also schedule something like, a short 15-minute meeting at the end of the day or after there's been some time to draft and redraft.
Sure.
You have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this letter pretty much just asks for their support of 2346 in our bill and makes one reference. We realize the grain licensing program has limitations and have been working to fix them, but the PSC has faced strong resistance on some of the most meaningful measures in the last 4 years. So that references that, Randy. I don't know, maybe that doesn't go far enough. Do you want to go through changes, or do you want to set another meeting later?
Well, mine aren't that many. I would read three sentences to you, and you guys can just digest them, and then maybe we could meet later, too. So in that paragraph, that one that starts with, "We realize," I think I would have worded it, "We realize the grain licensing program has limitations, and proposed legislation in 2015 and 2017 toward fixing those limitations. But the PSC has faced strong resistance from the North Dakota Grain Dealers mm-hmm. Association on some of the most meaningful measures in the last 4 years. That would be one change, just mm-hmm. that we point out two sessions, and it's the grain dealers that organize the effort. And then on the bullet points, number three, I thought the third one could be something more like statutory changes to make the indemnity fund voluntary, or make the existing indemnity fund voluntary, but allow it to work for all participating producers.
That's good. I like that. I like all of them. So we could tweak that and send that around. Brian, where are you at?
I haven't taken a really good look at it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, to say, you know, basically respectfully asking for support of Senate Bill 2346. And I think there's the one thing that does come to mind, there's a danger of, you know, has the point been made that there have been past attempts to strengthen statute so we can be more thorough and because, you know, as mentioned, we've been doing what we're supposed to do according to statute, but we all agree it's not what we need to do to be as effective as we'd like to be. So it's a fine line between what word did you use, Randy? Irritating the wrong people?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to.
So let's.
I'd have to work on it, and then we'll have to circle back. Otherwise, there'll be awkward silence for the next 10-15 minutes.
But you're open to doing it.
I'm still open to it. I'd want to see what the final version looks like.
Okay.
To me, it's one of those things. If today, almost a veto kind of thing. If a commissioner doesn't think we should do it, then I don't think we should do it.
The hard part for me is I don't have a feel for the room, so to speak. I can go work the floor. I can talk to individual representatives. I have. But I don't have a feel for what occurred last Friday. And that makes it really hard for me in terms of, okay, what was the reaction? And unless you're there and you're reading body language, and it's really, really, that's the part that makes it hard for me.
Well, yeah, and I can appreciate that. I guess for me, that was one committee, though. And there's, you know, whatever percent, 90% of the House wasn't in that committee. Or you were at the Senate? No, you were at the House.
This was the Senate Ag Committee.
Okay, so the Senate Ag Committee is one small, you know, microcosm within the Senate. The rest of the senators are busy doing their stuff that they're obsessed with and feel passionate about and aren't thinking about this at all or probably even paying attention to what happened in the Ag Committee. So that's the audience that I think we need to be reaching with. This is happening. It's important to us. Here's why we think this is the right approach, and we're asking you to respectfully support our, you know, direction here.
Well, let's. I'll mark up something. I mean, you two may not like it once I'm done marking it up. But then we can circle back
and
take a look.
Sounds good.
So that goes to scheduling as well.
Yeah, we'll add that to
our. Okay, I think the next one.
This is mine too. This should be quick.
Should be the easiest of the day.
So I met yesterday with the young a senior at Legacy High School. She's very interested in government, public service. She wants to get as much exposure as she can before she goes to college. She last summer had an internship, an unpaid internship with a law firm. I forget which one. I don't think it was Crowley Flack. And did like all kinds of kind of menial jobs. And she found it valuable because in the filing, et cetera, she got a feel for what sorts of things they were working on and got exposure to the documents, et cetera. She's interested in something similar here. Paid or unpaid, she is open to doing it for a month or doing it on a, you know, like I said, we could do a series of job shadow things. I could see that happening. But she'd also do it all summer long, so I just didn't know. A, can we have unpaid interns? I didn't think so.
Advise against it, but there's a little money available at HRMS. There used to be a stipend to assist in payment.
Okay.
They have a program that you'd qualify, she might qualify for.
All right.
And, you know, maybe you have money at least.
Yeah, maybe there's
through
some
most
money.
Of the summer.
Or for through June anyway. And are there some filing or putting documents into the archives, or is there any of that type of stuff that we could use some help with? Because she's open to doing just about anything.
Probably is, yeah.
Are you guys opposed to pursuing this with Steve at all? If I were to,
nope, I'm not opposed.
I think we should be cautious about anything past June, depending on how our budget comes out.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing. Like, just go through June, do a 1 month deal, and
I'll get a hold of HRMS and make sure I got all the rules straight.
Okay.
From there.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
And then the last is, was added the formal hearing that we have at 1:30 today. I would imagine some people are going to be hesitant to travel because of the weather moving in. And I don't know that somebody from Jamestown, for example, would have wanted to come in, or representatives, but I don't know that they wouldn't either. So I'm just wondering, is there a way and someone can help me out. Did we indicate that you could also provide testimony electronically, or?
Mr. Chairman, for all the rulemaking for 10 days after the hearing, you can provide written comments, but also if they call in, we will write them and transcribe them and get the idea of what they have and put that in the record as well. We've done that. I think it's actually past 10 days due to how the days fall, so it's the 25th.
Okay, so I can, and that might even be in my notes in terms of opening up the hearing this afternoon. So
you can let them, if someone asked to testify over the phone or something, I think you can. You have the discretion to allow that.
Sure.
Like to, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure we don't
leave somebody out.
Yep, leave somebody out, exactly. Okay, perfect. All right, well, that concludes the discussion matters. Scheduling, we have the first is work session, the wind generation sound requirements. And back to you, Commissioner Fedorchak.
So we've gotten some input to our last wind hearings on sound. I guess the question is, it seems like we need to set up a work session to take what we've learned from those two cases and decide if and what we might want to do moving forward. Does that make sense? Do you guys agree? Randy?
Yeah, we probably should.
So let's just set up a work session to talk through that.
Is that going to be for those two cases?
No. Okay. This is not for those two cases.
Okay.
I mean, I think potentially where this goes is, do we have the right requirements and do we need to entertain possibly changing our wind requirements or our sound requirements as it relates to wind? And that could take, I don't know if that's all of rule change or if some of it might just be what we're asking in terms of application materials, whatever. Sure. But I think those are the things we can discuss.
So do we want to look at next week sometime?
Well, it looks, I'm sure, on your schedules, blissfully open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because I'm at a MISO meeting.
No wonder. Okay. So, how about, well, do you get back late?
Let's see. No, I get back on Wednesday. Yeah, I do get back like 11 p.m. on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
But we could do something on Thursday or...
What about Friday? We've got legislative tracking at 11. Do you want to do it before?
I'd be open to that.
I don't know what might be out there in terms of hearings and whatnot, but how long do you think?
Probably an hour.
I don't know if this is going to be a short work session. There's a lot of information there and a lot to digest.
Well, I think we just need to get a sense of where we want to go. I mean, we could do an hour and a half if you want.
Or we could move to Friday afternoon.
I'm booked.
You are?
I actually have another OMS meeting that afternoon.
Do we dare schedule it the morning of the 22nd? Just looking at the morning of the 15th. We are stacked in terms of hearings taking place, committee meetings.
Well, it seems like a lot of our big bills will have been heard by then.
I think they'll all have had their hearings.
Yeah.
I think Friday's the last ones of them, but that doesn't mean there won't be subcommittees working and things like that. And it's the dilemma of scheduling these things during the session. We should might have to change it.
Should we try 9:30? Are there 9 o'clock on the 22nd or 9:30? And
if we have to change it, so be it.
Yeah. Okay. So 9 or 9:30.
We should try 9 so we leave a little break between that and the legislative meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
9 a.m. on the 22nd.
And then we have the workshop. No, I have this written down.
I've got two additions, too.
I have a couple as well.
The hearing exhibits workshop. Did I get that right?
I've got somebody coming up because I told him a few minutes ago I'm almost done.
Well, we'll have to go quick.
Isn't
workshop.
Is this why we send out an agenda?
Okay, we added the hearing exhibits workshop. So...
Do we want to do the workshop sooner versus later? The week of the 25th?
Which workshop are we talking about now?
Hearing exhibits applications.
What about March 25th?
No. 25th and 26th, they're out for me.
27th is commission.
28th? Looks pretty good.
Okay, 28th.
No, the 28th won't.
How about the 27th after the informal?
That's worse. How about the afternoon of the 28th?
Works for me.
I could do it at 2.
2 would be perfect. Okay. Right. 2 o'clock on the 28th.
That's on this filings and testimony and stuff.
Yep. So we have to get a letter out to folks on that, Pat. And we can talk about the list after this meeting. Okay.
Is that it?
No. Steve, why don't you throw yours out?
I have. We need to set up a personnel interview and a personnel meeting. Those are my two.
Okay, and I want to set up a work session for Aurora Solar. Does the 21st or 22nd work for...
You mean Aurora Wind?
I mean Aurora Wind, sorry.
Could we schedule the personnel interview first and get the first possible time for that before we use up options for other things and...
Okay, I was thinking mine would be later, but yes.
Well, 4 o'clock on the 28th.
We've That's got so far away.
Oh, it is.
Or the personnel.
I'm on the wrong week. But you're gone next to...
Well, what about...
22nd?
I mean, could we do that tomorrow or the next day?
I hope so.
The 14th. Sure. I mean...
How about tomorrow afternoon?
What time?
I'm open all afternoon tomorrow.
I'm open all afternoon tomorrow, too, so why don't we see if the fourth person that needs to be here is open.
I'm open after 2:30.
What time?
Pardon?
I have OMS stuff until 2:30, from 1 until 2:30.
3 o'clock?
I mean, I'd be happy to say 2:30. I'm sure I'll be done by then.
Looks like we have something in the hearing room, but I don't know if it can be moved or we can use one of the commissioner's offices.
Sure.
Why don't
we... Is this for the personnel or the interview?
Let's do the interview. That's the most critical one, so...
Okay. Do we want to do the personnel right after that?
That would work for me.
Can we do that?
Perfect.
That would for me, too.
Okay.
So we're going to go 2:30 and then... 3:15?
3:15, that works.
Okay. 45 minutes.
Okay.
So 2:30 for the interview and 3:15 for the...
Well, that's a pretty lucky interview to only be in there for 45 minutes with all of us.
And where's that going to be?
yet to be determined. I'll let you know.
Okay. Then is there anything else?
Okay, Aurora Solar. Aurora Wind. I'm going to start saying 21st or 22nd. Do either of those dates work for you guys?
This is for a work session?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry, but what date did you say?
The 21st or 22nd of this month.
The 22nd would be preferable for me. Or the morning of the 21st. Like 9 o'clock on the 21st would be fine as well.
The morning of the 21st works for me. The morning of the 22nd works for me.
Is Jerry involved in this?
You're good.
Yeah, he is. And Zach is. And I know those dates work for Zach because I checked with him.
Or even 10 o'clock. Give you a little bit of breathing room.
So the 22nd would have to be because Jerry's out on the 21st in the morning. So
Okay. Let's
go with the 22nd at 9.
9 sounds good.
Did you guys schedule the other work session at that time?
Oh, we did. That's right.
Jack is booked for the interview because it's the K2 interview. So that's a free time for something else for you guys.
That's what that one is.
That's what's in the hearing room. Yeah.
Okay, and that we carved out only 45 minutes.
Well, we could do our personnel stuff.
Yeah, do that first. And then...
2:30.
Well,
then... And 3:34.
That goes to 4:30.
In the hearing room, you mean? The hearing room thing, yeah. Anyway, that's his conflict.
So he's in that meeting?
Yes.
Oh, lovely. All right.
I think you wanted him in that meeting.
So that means we'll have to reschedule that one.
Which one?
Jack's
interview.
Because he's in the...
He's got a conflict.
Yep, he's got a conflict.
On the 14th.
Yep.
So, okay, but...
So then we can we do the Aurora then?
No. Their filings are... That's tomorrow. So they have late-filed exhibits coming in.
Speaking
of... but we can do the personnel meeting at 2:30 tomorrow. That's an important thing, too.
Okay, so we're moving personnel to 2:30.
And we believe everyone will be able to make it in, of course, with the pending storm.
Yeah, that's
good. You may not make it in tomorrow.
But I'm not.
Although, to be really honest, and this is dangerous because this is recorded, right? Yeah. It seems like whenever a massive storm is predicted so far in advance, it turns out to be, not a lot. And when now just get a few inches, we get like last Saturday, wind up with almost 10. So,
Okay, so when Jack make it?
I didn't check on that, and he was on his way out. So I just checked the time frame.
Okay, maybe you can check with Jack, and we'll do that offline.
I'll just do a circle around on that one.
See if there's something where we can do that tomorrow.
Okay, so
Friday, I meant.
How did tomorrow morning, though, in the morning, was that a problem for any of the three of us?
For which thing?
Jack's interview.
He has that one bill, but I don't know what time that is.
I have a 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Otherwise, I'm available.
You've got to get going, don't you, Randy?
So
they're out here.
Steve can, but I'd like to back up for 1 second on, well, Steve will do Jack. Yeah. The wind, Aurora Wind, let's use the 9 a.m. on the 22nd because I know that works for Zach.
Okay.
And we previously scheduled the sound thing there, and then we can reschedule the sound thing next time.
Yep, sounds good.
So we're doing what?
Aurora Wind is going to be at 22nd at 9 a.m.
Yep.
We're getting rid of the wind sound requirements on the 22nd at 9.
Okay.
Okay. We had set up a work session on that. We're going to get rid of that. We'll reschedule that the next time.
Okay.
So the Aurora Wind will be the 22nd.
We've got Aurora Wind. Do you want a meeting on your letter?
The letter this afternoon. I'm available.
Now, how long will the rulemaking go?
Hour and a half.
Scheduled for an hour.
3 o'clock?
Does that work for you, Randy?
I was trying to stay in touch with the people. I lost track.
Oh, the letter.
Seems like I don't even know what we have left of what we decided earlier.
Well, we're just talking about the letter. The letter that we are potentially sending out.
Okay, and what about it?
Can we meet today for 15 minutes later?
When?
3 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, and then we've got just the one loose end that, Steve, you're going to help clean up? Okay, so then we'll see how this all comes together when the invites go out, calendar invites. Make sure we got it right. Okay.
I think I'm good.
Anything else for the good of the order? Then we are adjourned.
Joint letter on SB 2346. Work session.
You have testimony at 2:30, Randy?
Yeah, we need some signatures.